Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is singer Aaron Neville. He moves easily through the musical genres from R&B to pop to country western and beyond. He got a start singing with his family in the Neville Brothers and proved himself as a solo artist with hits like Tell It Like It Is and his duets with Linda Ronstadt and Trisha Yearwood, which earned him 3 Grammy Awards. After Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans, he became an ambassador of hope for the people of his hometown. Welcome, Aaron Neville, to Song Travels.
Thanks for having me.
You have the most extraordinary career. I look back at all the things you've achieved and all the different kinds of music that you have sung through the decades. Has the role of music changed in your life through the years?
Music is like a thread that runs through my very being. You know, it's like if I'm in the supermarket, you know, I'm not paying attention to what I'm buying. I'm listening to what's played on, you know. If I'm in a doctor's office or wherever, somebody's talking to me, I hear the music more than I can hear them. That's the only way I can explain it. Music is me.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I guess I was born with it. I was just like something I've been wanting to do all my life. My brother Art said when I was a kid, I used to be in the crib and I'd go, till I fell asleep. So I guess I was trying to sing then.
Your parents, were they musical?
My mother and her brother were a song and dance team. He played piano and they danced. They were like the best dancers in New Orleans.
Really?
They had a chance to go on the road with Louis Prima. And my grandmother wouldn't let him go because of the Jim Crow laws back in the days. You know, it would have been, you know, not cool.
Would have been dangerous.
Yeah, so they didn't do that. But they said that they would never stop us from doing anything we wanted to do.
And did they encourage you in music?
No doubt. My dad and mom, they were Nat King Cole fans. And they had everything he would make. So, like, that's, you hear that all year long. And I used to think I was Nat back then the days, you know. I go to the movies, I sing for whoever's on the door, and they let me in free.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
So you listened to records your parents played in the house. You listened probably to stuff on the radio.
Speaking of the radio, yeah. When I was a little boy, my grandmother used to rock me on her lap while she listened to the gospel station. And the disc jockey's name was Dr. Daddy-O.
Dr. Daddy-O?
Yeah, but he would play, you know, these Mahalia Jackson, Brother Joe Mays, the Blind Boys, and all them guys, you know. And all this was going in my head while I'm sitting with her. She was drinking a Coca-Cola and taking a BC powder. That was the thing, you know. So Dr. Daddy-O would come on, he had a distinct voice. Yeah, good morning, mothers. How are you today? What, you burn the beans? Well, don't worry about that. Dr. Daddy-O is going to play something that's going to smooth it all out for you. Now, listen to that mother, Mahalia Jackson, sing this. He was cool.
Was he out of New Orleans?
Yeah.
A lot of those radio stations, you know, had very strong signals, and they traveled through parts of the country, and that's one of the things that made different kinds of music popular all over the United States.
One of them was Randy. Out of Nashville, WLAC, something like that. It was 100,000 watts. And Horseman Allen and I think Wolfman Jack came over there too.
Wolfman Jack.
Yeah. And John R. If the music was good, they played it. It wasn't no format thing. It had to sound like the last thing, you know. They played James Brown. They played the Coasters, the Drifters, whoever.
Well, what was the first song that you remember singing professionally, maybe, or singing in front of people, or what was the first important thing that you performed in public?
The first song I sang in public was with my brother Art's band. They had a band called the Hawkettes, and I just happened to be sitting on the stage, and Earl King had a song out called Mother's Love, and I loved the song, you know, and the guitar player just hit the riff, you know, that, and I came and I once was happy, and my brother Art turned around, you better finish, and the band kick off. And I'm standing up here with a microphone, and I had to sing it, you know, and it was cool.
Were you scared?
Sort of, yeah. I had never sang in public before, you know.
And you just went for it?
I went for it, yeah.
And after that, was there no stopping you?
No stopping.
I'm grateful that you consented to do some songs live for us for this show. And you were talking about the early things that you recorded. Your first recording was 1960.
60, right.
And there was something that you were talking about a split session with some other performers.
Yeah.
Explain what that means.
Well, it was a session was like four songs at that time. You know, I did two songs and the Del Rells did two songs. And we both, all of us was from the Calio Project in New Orleans. When I hear this song, I can see all these guys. They're all dead now, you know, but I can see them in my head and watch them standing around a microphone harmonizing. The song was a great song, and it stuck with me all these years. And every once in a while, I get by the piano and play it, you know.
Would you play it for us?
I sure will.
What's it called?
Who Will Be the One.
Great.
Who will be the one who will love me each day? Who will when I cry wash my tears away? Who will be the one who will hold my hand? Who will love me and try to understand? I want someone to be faithful, someone who will treat me right. I want someone to love me for the rest of my life. Who will be the one who will walk with me in the sunshine? Who will love me and be mine, oh, mine, oh, mine? Who will?
Who will be the one, as performed, sung, and played by our guest, Aaron Neville? You just remember that off the top of your head? It's just sort of stuck in there?
It's something that's been in me. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I sing it to myself when I can't go back to sleep. I was close with these guys, you know, and I just didn't ever had a chance to make it, you know, but they should have made it. They were a great group.
What was the music business like in New Orleans then?
The music business in New Orleans back in the days was like, you get those, they call them slave contracts. You sign on a dotted line, and, you know, most of the guys, they just wanted to sing and wanted to be recording. And half the time, the attorney was the record company's attorney.
Sure.
So you can say, yeah, sign right here, you know. And you're going to sign, and they give you $100 or so, and, man, I'm a recording star, you know. But it was like, I mean, New Orleans could have been a Motown. They had all the talent that they just ran through, like, Ernie Cato, Irma Thomas, Benny Spillman, Jesse Hill, and you name it. They had a lot of talent that just got messed over.
There was probably no accounting of royalties, you know, keeping track of sales and figures. And
I don't think so.
So how far do you think those recordings were distributed? How far do you think they got around?
Well,
were they national?
They were telling me back in the days, you know, Aaron, we didn't make no money because the songs, they're not going to further Baton Rouge or Texas or whatever, you know. And when I first met Keith Richards, he said, man, you know, I've been hearing your stuff since the early 60s in England.
Oh.
So they would send them over there to Charlie Records or one of them type of things, you know, and sell them, and you don't know nothing about it.
Oh, my Lord, isn't that something?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's so interesting, that whole connection between you know, England with R&B. You know, there was more of an appreciation for it over there.
Yeah.
It was considered more important there than before it was here.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And on your new recording, Keith Richards plays on it.
Right.
So that's kind of
co-produced it, but Don was the president of Blue Note Records.
Had you worked with Keith Richards before?
Yeah, we opened for them in 81. My brother Art and him with the Meters opened for him in the 60s or 70s, something like that. And my son Ivan played keyboards with his band Expensive Winos.
As opposed to the other kind.
Yeah, well.
This album, I've been listening to it. It's really wonderful. It's a whole,
thank you,
whole salute to an era that is so special, and you've recaptured it in a way that I think is unique.
Thanks a lot.
So how did you choose Ting-a-Ling?
My brother Art had a doo-wop group. He also worked at a record shop, and he'd bring home these records. And the Clovers were one of my favorite groups.
Mm.
And the song Ting-a-Ling was like, if you listen at it, you know, that's how we walked through the project back in them days. You know, it was like an attitude, you know, and like, that's how I had to do it. I've been wanting to do that for a long time. One of my all-time favorite songs.
I know very little about doo-wop. I love it, but I don't know many of the groups. And you know this music intimately because you grew up with it. As I understand it, the Clovers were one of the most popular groups of the early 1950s.
Right.
And I find that amazing because I'd never heard of them.
Matter of fact, they were the first that I heard to sing Blue Velvet and Devil or Angel. Well, I think Bobby Vinton covered them later and had a hit with them.
Hmm.
But they were like the smooth group that was pretty harmonious. You know, it was like out of sight.
So there are all these groups that really changed music in a fundamental way. And they're not household names, but they've created a lineage that you are reviving with this recording. So this must be a very, very personal project for you.
Really personal. You know, like to all those guys, like a lot of them had big records that wasn't making any money. One of my idols who I got to be friends with, Pookie Hudson and the Spaniels, he would tell stories about his life because I thought they was living up on the hill somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And said one time they had a hit record out and they wasn't getting no money from the record company or anything. He was sleeping on the park bench in Central Park with covered up a newspaper. He had me sitting there crying, you know, listening at him. I said, wow, man. It just blew all my image of what I, you know, was seeing of him, you know.
Well, it's nice to know the music business hasn't changed.
Well, anyway, a lot of those groups, they were just grunts. You know, they went out and done the footwork and ripped and run and somebody else sat back and collected.
Are there any of these original guys around? Do you know any of them? Have you kept in touch with any of them? Are any of them still with us?
The guy that wrote My True Story, Eugene Pitt, he's singing background on some of the songs on
really?
The album. Yeah.
How exciting.
Matter of fact, Keith Richards got in touch with him, and he brought in Bobby Jay, who sang with the Teenagers, and Dickie Harmon, who sang with the Dell Vikings, and Joel Katz. I can't remember who he sang with, but they were old-timers.
Oh, so you got the real guys
on
there.
I also had my drummer Earl Smith Jr. and my bass player David Johnson, who sings background with my live shows on some of it.
So you recorded like a whole bunch of stuff, right? Like
you
probably had to leave stuff off this recording.
Well, we went in with 12 songs and wound up doing 23. Would have went longer, but, you know, the time ran out. We did it in about like 5 or 6 days.
So you've already got volume 2, basically.
Oh, yeah, no
just
doubt.
About. Well, I'd love to do something with you, something from the CD.
Cool.
But I'd like to try and play it. It's not going to have the iconic doo-wop guys doing backup, but this magic moment.
Cool. People can use their imagination. They can hear the background, you know.
Okay.
This magic moment, so different and so new, like any other, until I kiss you, and then it happened. It took me by surprise, I know you felt it too, by the look in your eyes. Sweeter than wine, softer than a summer night. Everything I want I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment. Why how your lips were close to mine will last forever. Forever till the end of time. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Softer than a summer night. Everything I want I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment, while your lips were close to mine, will last forever. Forever till the end of time. Oh, 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 oh. If you cry, I think my heart would break. That would be much more than I could take. And if I thought it fear fall from your eyes, darling, don't you know that I would die? True love, true love, true love, true love. If you cry, I don't know what I'd do. Darling, I am so in love with you. And if I thought that I had caused you pain, my tears would fall like the rain. True love, true love, true love, true love. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Well, that was fun, this magic moment.
Cool, man, yeah. You're a great piano player.
Thank you, thank you. The thing I love about your singing is that the minute you start, it's like you are in a zone. I look at your face and you are so inside everything you're singing. Do you feel that you always had that ability to immediately like zoom, go right inside a song, or is that something that evolved?
Yeah, I don't know if it evolved or not, but I just remember anytime I'm singing, it's like something magical, you know, because I'm feeling something, and if somebody's listening to me and they can feel it, you know, that makes it even better. But it's definitely magic to me.
There's something very intimate in musical collaboration that is unspoken. It's a communication that, you know, you just do something and I'm phrasing with you and yet I'm doing it by feel. And somehow instinctively it comes in at the right moment. And it's sort of like the divine essence sort of giving us the cues to when to do
it. Just make it all work out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really fascinating. You've had so many hits through the years, sung so many different kinds of music, and done a lot of duet recordings with different people, and two Grammys with Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
And I was looking the other day, I guess it was on YouTube, of a clip of you and Linda at the Grammys singing the I don't remember
don't
which.
Don't Know Much?
Yeah, it must have been Don't Know Much.
Yeah.
And there you are. It's exquisite. But I flashed back to something I saw years ago. It was a clip of Frank Sinatra and Lena Horne doing a duet. And they are both singing, looking straight ahead. They never relate to each other because she's black and he's white. And I found out afterwards that they weren't allowed.
Yeah, it was
to
crazy,
do,
man.
They weren't allowed to do any more than that. They couldn't give any sign that there was any possibility of any thought of anything other than singing a song between them.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching this performance on the Grammys in 1990, is it, or 91?
Something like that.
And I'm thinking how times have changed, and yet in some ways they haven't.
You got that right.
Yeah.
But that was part of the Jim Crow thing back in the days, you know, like, that's one thing I read about Frank Sinatra. He was one of a kind. He didn't take no mess with the hotels and all. If it's Sammy Davis was with him, he said, well, if he can't stay here, we're not staying here, you know, simple as that.
He had his bodyguard escort Sammy and Count Basie through the hotel.
Yeah.
And nobody was going to mess with those guys. A number of years ago, you did a dedicated album of standards with the most luscious orchestrations. These songs are ones that I perform a lot, and I'm always interested in hearing somebody else's take on them, because the thing that I love about all kinds of music is the way it can be reinvented. And one of the things I loved about the album of standards that you did is that you sang against this very luscious, almost traditional orchestral bed, but what you did vocally was make the songs very contemporary and very fresh.
Yeah, Rob Monza, he did an amazing job with the production of it. I'd listen to it sometime and I think it's going this way and it'll go that way, you know. So I had to be aware of everything and just go for it.
I met him recently and worked with him for the first
time.
Yeah,
he's cool.
Very thrilled to do that. Can we do one of those standards?
Yeah, why not?
How about a song by Eden Abez?
Yeah. Do you know the story about that one?
I heard it recently, but tell it because...
Well, the guy that wrote it, he wanted to be an up-tempo set song. I
didn't know that.
Yeah. And Nat King Cole took it somewhere altogether different. Yeah, I heard that. Ahmet Erdogan told me about that.
Huh. I didn't know that. The thing that surprised me is that the first time I looked at the sheet music, it was written in three-quarter time.
All right.
Her love's a boy. Da 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 dee 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 dee. So, I guess it's lucky that Nat got a hold of it.
No doubt. Yeah, he did it.
Well, let's do it here. I'll accompany you.
Cool.
Nature Boy by Eden Abez, sung by our guest, Aaron Neville.
Was a boy, a very strange and enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, a magic day, he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest thing you ever learned is just to love and be loved in return. Thank you.
And then one day, a magic day he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me. The greatest thing you ever learned is just to love and be loved in return.
Nature Boy, Eden Abez, performed by our guest Aaron Neville. Do you hear Nat Cole's voice when you do something like that?
I always do, yeah. He was like a teacher, you know. I'd be trying to do his diction and stuff like that, you know. But I mean, I'm from New Orleans, so I got an accent. It don't work all the time, but I have to concentrate on what's coming from the heart, you know.
Yes. Rosemary Clooney said Nat Cole could make any song sound great.
No doubt.
You've discovered original song and a sequel or an answer song in A Thousand Miles Away in Daddy's Home.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people was familiar with Daddy's Home because a couple of people recorded it later on, but they weren't hip to A Thousand Miles Away, which was the first, and it was the same group. A Thousand Miles Away was recorded by the Heartbeats. Daddy's Home was recorded by Shep and the Limelighters, but they were the same people. But they had to change names for some reason, I don't know.
Would you perform them?
I sure will. I love them.
A Thousand Miles Away in Daddy's Home.
You're a thousand miles away, but I still have your love to remember you by. Oh, my darling, dry your eyes. Daddy's coming home soon. On my knees every day, all I do is pray, baby, just for you. Hope you'll always want me to. Daddy's coming home soon. It may be on a Sunday morning, and it may be on a Tuesday afternoon, but no matter what the day is, I'm going to make it my business to get home soon. You're a thousand miles away, but I still have your love to remember you by. Oh, my darling, dry your eyes. Daddy's coming home soon. Ooh, 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 ooh. You're my love, you're my angel, you're the girl of my dream. I'd like to thank you for waiting patiently. Daddy's home. Daddy's home to stay. How I waited for this moment to be by your side. Wrong told me you had teardrops in your eyes. Daddy's home. Daddy's home to stay. It was a Sunday, and it was on a Tuesday afternoon. But no matter what the day is, I made it back on you. How I waited for this moment to be by your side. Your best friend Roland told me you had teardrops in your eyes. Daddy's home, Daddy's home to stay.
Our guest Aaron Neville performing 1,000 Miles and Daddy's Home. It's amazing to me how many songs came out of those chords.
Thousands of them, yeah.
There's more coming up in a moment with our Grammy-winning vocalist, Aaron. Our program is made possible in part by NPR and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art Works. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Song Travels from NPR Music. Now tell me about Be My Baby. That's on the new CD, and
yeah.
We'll play that track from the album, but I didn't know that. I confess my ignorance with a lot of these doo-wop songs.
Well, Be My Baby, they claim it wasn't a doo-wop song, but to me, it was a doo-wop. They had a lead singer, they had some background vocals, you know. It was produced by Phil Spector, Wall of Sound.
Sure.
And it was always one of my favorite songs. And Keith Richards brought up the idea of me doing the Be My Baby. Say, hey, man, yeah, let's put this in on. It's great.
So you did this sort of impromptu in the studio?
Right.
Oh, my Lord. Well, all I can say is listen to this, folks. Be My Baby. That's our guest, Aaron Neville. The sound of that recording is so delicious. Well, I'd like to do another doo-wop song at the piano with you. It's something that is fun for me because it's not my usual bailiwick, and it's a great joy. It's a great
cool,
joy.
Man.
Song that I do know, Under the Boardwalk.
All right, cool.
The sun beats down and heats the tar up on a roof. And your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my baby is where I'll be. Under the boardwalk, out of the sorrow, we'll be having some fun. People walking above, we'll be falling in love. Boardwalk, you hear the happy sound of the carousel. You can almost taste the hot dogs and French fries they sell. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my baby is where I'll be. We'll be having some fun. People walking above, we'll be falling in love. walking above. To be falling in love for one,
Under the Boardwalk. That was from, I guess, the early 60s, somewhere around there. Another song that's on My True Story is a song that was sung by Jesse Belvin.
Right.
Talk about him.
Jesse Belvin is one of the great voices of that era, and he died too young. He got killed in an automobile accident where somebody cut his tire or something like that. But, I mean, he was like one of those guys that touch your heart when you hear his voice.
Yes.
And you want to sing like him, you know, you want to, hey, man, I want to hit that note, you know. Mm-hmm. He was way cool.
Well, let's do this one in his memory.
Cool, man.
Good night, my love.
Good night, my love. Pleasant dreams and sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright and bring you closer to me. Before you go, there's just one thing I'd like to know. Is your love still warm for me? Or has it grown cold? If you should awake in the still of the night, please have no fear. Oh, I'll be there. You know I can. Please give your love to me, dear. Only good night, my love. Pleasant dreams and sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright and bring you closer to me. Be sunny and bright and bring you closer to me. Good night, my love.
Good night, my love. Sweet song.
Yeah, he was a great singer. Hmm. He never really got his recognition.
Hmm. Do you know how old he was when he passed?
About 26.
Lord. Well, Nat Cole was, I guess, only in his 40s when he died.
But Nat was the thing, like, you know, back in the days, it was a fashion statement for people to have a cigarette in their hand all the time, you know, and that's what took him out.
Hmm. I was told that Nat said that smoking made his voice sound husky in a way that he liked.
Yeah.
He liked the quality it brought to it. I mean, who knew?
I know.
Well, can we do another song in memory of Nat?
Sure can, yeah.
This one I know a little bit about. Mona Lisa was written by two friends of mine, Jay Livingston and Ray Evans. And it was one of the first things that was arranged for Nat by Nelson Riddle. So it'll be fun to play it for you on the piano.
Let's do it.
Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you? For that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile. Do you smile to tempt the lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely word of to tempt the lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely word of art? Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa.
That was beautiful, Aaron.
Thank you.
Mona Lisa.
Your playing was beautiful, too.
Thanks. Well, it's a joy to accompany you. Well, I look at you, and I think about how you have embodied so much music without judgment. You just pick up any kind of music that appeals to your heart and sing it and draw an audience with you. And that's the mark of true talent, of just being instinctive with what you connect with. And I admire that greatly.
Well, I love all kind of music. You know, when I was a kid, I used to ride the bus going to school, and I'd listen to K-Star singing The Wheel of Fortune.
Mm.
That was one of my favorites. Rhapsody in Blues, just stuff that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did want to be pigeonholed into, you know, because they say, oh, he's an R&B or whatever. And when I was a kid also, I was a cowboy. I used to go to movies and see Roy Rogers and Gene Autry.
And didn't you record the Mickey Mouse thing?
Oh, I did a doo-wop version of Mickey Mouse March, yeah. With Dr. John playing piano.
Well, I think that makes you the most eclectic of...
And I sang with Ernie on Sesame Street. I don't want to live on the moon.
Well, may I have the pleasure of singing with you?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here's a song with music by Charlie Chaplin, Smile.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking.
When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your pain and sorrow, smile. See the sun come shining through for you.
Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness.
Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time.
You must keep on trying.
Smile, what's the use of crying?
You'll find that life is still worthwhile
if you just smile.
Smile.